Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
Ian Guider, Markets Editor of the Business Post, is with us. And I think for some people, the penny is starting to drop that the banks could be facing another crisis as a result of COVID-19. Serious damage to the profitability of the Irish banks. And the first wave of that came from Bank of Ireland this morning. Tell us about this, please, Ian.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. And when the banks suffer, we know that the next people in line are their shareholders and also then their customers. Now, Bank of Ireland are the first of the big Irish banks with a trading update. This morning, they announced that in the first quarter of this year, they made a loss of just under 240 million euro. Now, they did point out to the fact that January and February and the start of March had actually gotten off to a good start for them, that their mortgage lending had done quite well, that they had seen an increase in customer deposits. However, we do know that the COVID-19 impact on the entire economy has been painful, and Bank of Ireland announced today that they were setting aside an awful lot of money to prepare for customer loans going sour. So they've talked about putting aside about just over 250 million euro in impairment charges, and that's in the expectation that loans generally may go sour over the next couple of months. But also, Matt, something we spoke about back in March was stock market activity. Markets had had a pretty rough time, and Bank of Ireland taking a loss of about 100 and odd million euro on stock market hits as well. So overall, the first quarter of the year was difficult for Bank of Ireland, but they're also warning that the impact on the economy for the rest of the year will be difficult.
The lending thing, because there's two potential problems as I can see it for them. One is that loans they have out there will not be repaid or will be deferred. So that's a problem. But the other problem is going to be they're going to be worried about who they lend money to as to whether any fresh loans they give will be repaid.
Yeah, and just even the volume of lending will be much lower. So Bank of Ireland talking about that for the entire year of 2020, new lending may be down as much as 50% on 2019. So that is both the appetite for new lending, the cautiousness of the bank as well in terms of who it lends to. And again, as you said, there is the fact that loans will be going bad. So far, the bank has said that in Ireland and Britain, where it's got where it has an extensive loan book as well, it has agreed 86,000 payment breaks. So you get the sense of the scale of customers who are being affected by COVID-19. And the bank also today, its chief executive, talking about the fact that there are payment breaks on offer until the end of September, and something I wrote about recently as well in the Business Post, there will not be widespread payment breaks being offered to customers past the end of September, because if your loan has been in arrears for 6 months, well, therefore, you're probably facing a serious hit to your income, a serious hit to your financial circumstances, and a forbearance measure of just adding interest on to your end of loan term or adding the payments onto the end is not really going to help you. So you may need further intervention. You may have to put a more widespread restructuring in place for your mortgage loan.
I see that the shares in Bank of Ireland fell as a result of this. AIB's fell because investors say, well, what's happening to Bank of Ireland is likely to happen to AIB. And that completely does for any plans the government might have had to sell its shares in those particular banks.
Yeah, very much off the table. Shares in Bank of Ireland and AIB down by about 15% today. I suppose for shareholders out there, the downside of all of this, apart from the fact that the share prices are falling quite a bit, the more loans the bank sees going bad, the more loans it has to make impairment charges for, the less capital the bank has. The less capital the bank has, the less money it can return to shareholders in the form of dividends. So that is the annual payment shareholders get, or even buying back some of those shares to try and lift the share price. The prospect of that had been for AIB. There was talk earlier this year that they might pay either a special dividend or buy back some of its shares, try and lift the share price. That's very, very unlikely. And I think, Matt, if you were to compare Irish bank share prices to European bank share prices, I think you'll find that we're taking a bit more of a hit than some of the European banks are. Because, of course, apart from dealing with the loans that have gone sour in the last couple of months, we are dealing with legacy loans from the past financial crisis that were still weighing on Irish banks even at the beginning of this year.
Which is why other lenders are important. And you had a really interesting story in the Business Post yesterday about how the government is likely to step in with loans to help builders get construction running again.
Yeah, because of course banks are going to be very reluctant to make loans to large builders if they're concerned about house prices, if they're concerned about affordability, if they're concerned about the appetite this year for people to buy a home. However, construction activity is due to restart this day next week, and there are builders who have taken a hit over the last number of months. They've not been able to either get mortgage, they've not been able to get deposits off customers, or they've not been able to finalise certain agreements with banks to get loans in place to pay their suppliers. So the government are stepping in a number of ways to help the building sector. So for large scale housing developments out there, we're talking really big building schemes, particularly in the Dublin and the east of the country. The government are stepping in through Home Building Finance Ireland, which is effectively a lender to the construction sector, about a 200 million euro fund for big developers out there. So that would finance quite a lot of major schemes out there, but also doubling the size of loans for property developers and builders. The previous limit for any builder who wants to go to Home Building Finance Ireland, it was 35 million. In euro per development. That has been put up to 75 million. And to help builders at the lower end of the scale, where people might be building maybe a dozen homes, maybe 20 homes, that loan now has been reduced. You can get a loan of 1 million euro, and you can get, for if you're just building maybe 10 units, that has been reduced as well. So you can get loans at the upper end, the lower end. And also, Matt, as well, for apartment developments, the government hadn't previously used this agency to fund apartment blocks. Well, now they will lend up to 75 million euro per development. So you can see the government conscious of the fact of the need to get the construction sector back into work. We know there are well over 100,000 employees in the construction sector. So if there are going to be any short-term difficulties getting loans from banks or finalising agreements with investors or customers out there to fund developments, the government are stepping in with loans, what should I say, are on commercial terms as well. So these will not be cheap loans available. However, it is just another source of finance for builders.
I made reference earlier to how Willie Walsh today, the boss of IAG, said that the business is actually fighting for its life. He's really worried about the quarantine proposals that Boris Johnson announced last night. He thinks it'll stop the ramping up of the return of flights from July onwards. But if that's the problem for airlines, what about airport traffic? Because we have two terminals out in Dublin Airport and we have the construction of a second runway underway. But what will happen to that airport if it has to implement social distancing guidelines?
Yeah, and I think I've mentioned this to you a few times now. It is the entire aviation and travel sector that is in difficulty. I was listening to your discussion before the news there at 6 o'clock as well with the travel agents. You know, we talk about the airlines being in difficulty and laying off staff. You talk about tour operators being under pressure. You're right. Airports as well are seeing just a trickle of people passing through their doors. And even if we get flying agreed by government in the next couple of months, who will want to travel? And the head of the Dublin Airport Authority, Dalton Phillips, was speaking in a video to staff in the last couple of days. The Sunday Independent had the story talking about the fact that he believed passenger numbers will fall by around 70% at Dublin and Cork Airport. Last year was a record year for them, 36 million people. You're looking at as many or as few as 9 million people this year. So obviously January, February and the start of March, most of those people would have passed through the doors. So for the rest of this year, passenger numbers are going to be very minimal, even if we do get flying back up and running. And even
Ian, everyone's been talking about social distancing on the aircraft, but how do you actually manage to get the social distancing in the queues to get on the aircraft? Can you imagine the social distancing if you were going to be flying to the United States, going through the passport control beforehand? How far back that queue is going to be if everybody is keeping 2 meters distant?
It's for everything, Matt. It is for people checking in. It is for people going through security gates. It's for people dropping off their bags. Airports are not built for people standing far apart. They're built for people speeding through as quickly as possible. Now, you can do certain things. Obviously, you can go through an airport without actually meeting another person behind a customer service desk or a check-in desk. However, you will be crowded around other passengers. You're talking hundreds of thousands of people queuing, particularly early morning flights as well. So there are peak times for airports. It is virtually impossible, if you had any normal resumption of travel, to maintain the distancing between customers. It's just not viable.
Just one last one briefly. We love an Elon Musk story. His latest one, that he's threatening to move Tesla's factory from California if it won't allow him to restart production quickly. But how quickly would he be able to set up a new factory anywhere else?
Yeah, I think he is, again, somebody who should stay off the Twitter machine a little bit more often. So obviously, there has been a restart of some car manufacturing across the United States. It is seen as a vital industry. However, it is up to the individual states to decide which economic activity can be restarted. So obviously, in certain counties, it is allowed. However, California, and in particular, Alameda County, which is where Tesla's major production site is, have said that resumption of Tesla's manufacturing is not an essential economic activity, and they are going to have to wait. So Elon Musk, of course, doesn't think that rules are for people like him. He's already called the lockdown could be considered fascist, if you want to take up some of his comments on that. They're on Twitter. But he is now talking about moving Tesla's HQ out of California and into somewhere a bit more acceptable to his business needs, such as Texas or Arizona, where he also has a manufacturing site as well. Now, could this be something that he's just vented on Twitter because he's in particularly bad mood? Actually, would have thought he'd be in good mood given the birth of his child last week with Grimes. However, he is talking about how the fact that this is the final straw for Tesla in California and that the move will take place in the next couple of months. I think he's more talking about the corporate head office rather than moving Tesla's entire factory, okay, because, of course, that is his only production factory in the United States.
I think he's without a home as well at the moment. Apparently he is.
He has sold all of his possessions. Again, this was coming in a tweet after the birth of his child, who I don't think you could even pronounce the name. Not at this hour.
Okay, we leave that. Thank you very much. Ian Guider, markets editor of the Business Post.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.